Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is the Healthy Mind Radio Show. Here, we talk about our emotional health and well-being, about living the most authentic life we possibly can, the one we truly deserve. So take notice, our true strength and action are on the march, while our fears and self-doubt are on the run. Never doubt how truly powerful you are. Let's learn together, right here on The Healthy Mind. Oh, yes, well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is The Healthy Mind Podcast for October 31st, 2012. Happy Halloween, everybody. I hope that you are all doing well. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. It is an especially wonderful day here at The Healthy Mind. This podcast, October 31st, 2012, is my 50th podcast. 50 podcasts to this point. We're closing in on a year. I don't know how many of you knew this, but I launched thehealthymind.com and the podcast on 11-11-11, November 11th, 2011. And in fact, I made the site go live at 11-11 a.m. So how about that? I don't know if I got to 11 seconds, but we're closing in on a year, but this is the 50th podcast of The Healthy Mind. And I'm really happy that you are here today. I guess apropos of the 50th show, today we're going to talk about persistence and perseverance. Persistence and perseverance, how we can heal simply by being persistent and having that perseverance to see it through. I think you're really going to take away a lot from today's podcast. We've got some really important health news as well. A very, very simple step that you can take, really beginning today, that can improve the quality and satisfaction of your life. We'll talk about the latest research about that in the second half of the podcast. Some other news, we'll do some headlines. And hey, we have got ourselves a pretty darn good 50th broadcast of The Healthy Mind. The website, as always, www.thehealthymind.com. Thank you all so much for spreading the news about the website and the podcast. And don't forget to sign up right there on the homepage for the free monthly newsletter of The Healthy Mind. I'll send that out to you by email every single month. Thank you to all of you who have subscribed to the newsletter and your very kind words. The email address, anytime you want to reach me, peter@thehealthymind.com. Okay. Today, given that we've reached kind of a milestone here with 50 shows and coming up on a year, I thought it might be apropos to talk about persistence and perseverance. Specifically, how do we heal from being persistent and persevering? And really, no matter what success that we look for in our life, whether it is our health, whether it is our relationships, whether it is our professional lives or our business lives, it basically comes down to perseverance and persistence. Belief has to be there in ourselves, of course, but we have to keep going. No matter what, we have to keep going. And this has come up. It does come up, gosh, so frequently in my sessions and when I talk to people at my lectures or when people email me, this idea of persevering, no matter what the odds are. And I've talked about this in a general way on an earlier podcast. I think it's been several months now. But the fact that success in general, success, has somewhat to do with our intelligence. Of course, we have to be bright and know what we want and know the means by which to go about it. But success is really a matter of staying in the game. The persistence and the perseverance really does trump out-and-out intelligence if you look at those individuals who are successful. Now, I've talked a little bit about that as it relates to success, but what I really want to talk about today is the healing effects, the healing power, how we truly heal through persistence and perseverance. So what do I really mean when I say that? What am I talking about here with regards to healing, persistence, and perseverance? I'll give you a couple of examples here to illustrate this. A lot of times people, as they come in to see me, will talk about various issues, whether they're emotional issues or, as many of you know, the treatment that I also do with emotions and physical pain. People will come in and they'll feel kind of stuck. They'll say, I'm putting in the effort, I'm putting in the energy, but it doesn't feel like I'm getting anywhere. It really doesn't feel like any of this is making a difference. I don't feel like I'm moving forward at all. What do I do? What do I do different to feel better? And really, what we have to understand is the improvement in our health, whether it is emotional or physical or both, oftentimes requires traveling along a journey where maybe a whole lot doesn't happen right away, or for a while, in fact. But eventually, as long as we stay focused, as long as we believe in what we are trying to achieve, the fact that we will get better emotionally from our anxieties, from our depressions, the fact that we truly believe that the actions that we are taking will improve our pain. Doing the work, even though you may not be seeing the change right away, will lead you to health. And a lot of times when this comes up, people will look at me and they're frustrated. I get it. They don't know if what they're doing is right. But I always give the example of when we move into a new house or an apartment. And I think people can relate to this. All right, so picture that. You've just moved, you bought a new house, or you've moved into a new apartment, and there are boxes everywhere, right? They're everywhere. I've got pots and pans for the kitchen, my clothes, the stuff I've got to put together for my computer, all my music, blah, 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 all of this stuff. And what do we begin to do? We unpack. We unpack. Now, we've got boxes strewn all over the house, right? Some are in the bedroom, some are in the kitchen, some are in the garage, in the basement, everywhere. And we've got to unpack them and start putting them away. Clothes go in the closet, pots and pans go in the drawers, etc. Now, early on in the process, we are working like mad, working day and night to put things away. I know we've all been there. I can think about it and I start laughing because I know what that's like. It seems like there are an unending amount of boxes to put away. You open another one, it's full. You put it away, still feels like there's a zillion boxes there, right? After a while, though, you're getting there, and the house or the apartment or the room begins to declutter. And then it isn't until almost the very end, when those last few boxes are finally put away, it's those last few boxes that we finally put away that we see, wow, this house has come together. This apartment looks pretty good. I'm finally moved in. I did it. Okay, so why do I tell you this? I use that analogy a lot in my therapy because that's pretty much what we need to do when we are working to improve our health, whether it is our emotional health or in some of the work that I do with emotions and pain, the treatment of psychophysiologic disorders and TMS, tension myositis syndrome. There's a lot of work that goes on. And much like we feel where we are in the midst of unpacking everything in our home when we've just moved, a lot of times we'll do the work. People will come in. There might be therapy. There might be homework. There might be journaling, writing, exercising, whatever it may be. But the change isn't appreciated right away. And people will come in frustrated, thinking that either the treatment isn't working, maybe I'm a quack, or that they're not working hard enough, or they're doing something wrong. And this is where it is so important to stay focused, to truly realize you are on the path, but that it may take time to get to where you want to be, whether it is feeling better emotionally or physically. But you are not spinning your wheels just because you don't see improvement in that moment. It takes time. And it takes many, many steps, just like the unpacking, to actually feel like you have begun to heal. People will get so frustrated with me, and I check in with them to make sure that they're still on board, that they still believe what we're doing is still the right course for them and will bring them health. And invariably, it does. It does. I don't want to say always, but pretty darn always. This is why I believe that people are so unbelievably powerful. Despite the doubt, despite the worry, despite the fear that things are never going to get better, people persevere. They persevere and they persist because they believe. They believe in the process, but more importantly, they believe somewhere in their minds that they can do it. Or else they wouldn't be seeing me or they wouldn't be putting in the time. Just like many of you are putting in the time, either with somebody else who may be a medical professional or the work that you do on your own. You're doing it. Don't forget that. It's easy to get overwhelmed when we are sitting there and we are hurting, whether it's emotional pain and or physical pain. It's hard to see that it can get better. I get that. But we have to realize that whether we look at the end goal of what we're trying to achieve and see it as so far away or so daunting, or we focus on what we have to do right now, either one of those perspectives, there is only the next step that will get us on that road to health. Doesn't matter. You can get overwhelmed looking at that big picture saying, how in the heck am I going to get there? Or you can say, what do I have to do tomorrow? But either way, there is the next step that you have to do, no matter what it is, whether it's your health, whether it is your relationships, whether it is your business and your success. There's always that next step. And it is so important that we focus in that way whenever we start to get too anxious or worried about how is this ever going to get done. We focus in on what is that next step. Now, I'm not just telling you this because of my vast clinical experience in this area of human behavior. I'm telling you this because as best as I can, and I'm not perfect by any means, just ask my wife, this is how I focus in on trying to get things done, particularly when my fears, my insecurities begin to kind of creep up on me. The next step, am I on the right track? Is this what I want to be doing? Yes. Stay focused and on the next step that has to be done, because eventually, just like unpacking those boxes, I'm going to get there. And I've seen it happen. But it isn't sudden. It doesn't just happen that way. It takes work. And I always remind people, especially when they're better, when you are doing the work that you need to and you begin to feel better emotionally, it isn't as if some magic moment out there in the future randomly occurred and now you're out of pain, whether it's emotional or physical. No, it was just that last box that you unpacked and put away. And things begin to get better. Things begin to heal. Persistence and perseverance, that is it. That is it. It is putting in the effort, staying persistent even when you have to face your fears and your doubts and your insecurities, staying focused on what you have to do. If you do that and have belief in your ability to heal, that is an incredibly powerful combination to healing and feeling better and feeling like you are where you want to be. Persistence and perseverance. You can do it because you are that powerful. You really are. Don't doubt that about yourself. Look at everything that you've accomplished to this point. You've done that. You can do more and you will. you will get better and you will heal. And that, my friends, is such an incredibly important first step to take as we walk down our road to the healthy mind. And now it's time for news. Okay, well, another busy week of health news. Now, this first story is just amazing, but it is pretty ominous as well. It turns out that researchers may have found out the reason as to why a corporate environment can be so cruel, so merciless, and unforgiving. But additionally, it may give us some insight into why all of us can be so easily duped by a scam artist. The headline, Analytic Thinking Limits Our Ability to Be Empathetic. Turns out that we have a built-in mechanism in our brain that limits our ability to be both empathetic and analytic at the same time. Now, these researchers at Case Western Reserve showed that when the brain fires up its network of neurons that allows us to be empathetic, well, it suppresses the network that we use for logical analysis. But the researchers also found that it works both ways. When we are very analytical, our ability to be empathetic is repressed. Amazing. This new study may provide insight into the operation of a healthy mind versus those that may have emotional problems or that are developmentally disabled. Now, the lead author of the study, Professor Anthony Jack, stated, quote, "This is the cognitive structure we've evolved. Empathetic and analytical thinking are, at least to some extent, mutually exclusive in the brain." End of quotes. In this study, they found that when adults were presented with either social or analytical problems, they consistently engaged the appropriate part of the brain to solve the problem while repressing the other pathway. And the seesawing brain activity was confirmed and recorded by using functional magnetic resonance imaging, fMRIs. According to Dr. Jack, quote, "This shows scientific accounts really do leave something out, the human touch. A major challenge for the science of the mind is how we better translate between cold and distant mechanical descriptions that neuroscience produces and the emotionally engaged intuitive understanding which allows us to relate to one another as people." End of quotes. And really, this is a groundbreaking study. It has huge implications on a bunch of psychiatric disorders, from anxiety to depression to ADHD and to schizophrenia. And it may lead to a better understanding and hopefully better treatments in the future of these disorders. It's interesting to think of the implications, particularly as we think of larger economic issues that had happened in this country just a few years ago, the mortgage crisis and how it seemed corruption just went way off the rails. People just didn't seem to be thinking about each other at all. It was just dog eat dog. And you wonder how much of this could be explained by focusing so much and doing the analysis, perhaps financially, might have led to people not being able to be empathetic and considering the plight of the other folks that they were putting at risk. Amazing to think of the implications. Analytic thinking limits our ability to be empathetic. I'm sure there will be more to come as a result of this study. Okay, now moving on. If you remember at the beginning of the podcast, I said that in health news, we were going to talk about one simple thing that we can all do to improve our overall quality of life. What is it? That one thing? Exercise. It turns out that regular exercise has an incredibly positive effect on our emotional health, our outlook on life, and even our self-esteem. The headline, Exercise Improves Our Satisfaction with Life. And this was a new study out of Penn State University. And researchers there found that just extending your regular exercise routine by just a few minutes a day had a profound impact on your outlook on life and your self-esteem. Now, according to graduate student Jacqueline Marr, quote, we found that people's satisfaction with life was directly impacted by their daily physical activity. These findings reinforce the idea that physical activity is a health behavior with important consequences for daily well-being. Now, the research team studied the effect of exercise on satisfaction with life in adults between the ages of 18 and 25. Now, you may ask, why this age group? It's a really good question, and I didn't know this. It was actually quite interesting. Now, the researchers chose that particular age group because during that time in our life, our well-being worsens more quickly than in any other time in our adulthood. Fascinating. It's a fairly nice-sized study, too, about 250 college students. And what they found after controlling for variables like mental health or fatigue or one's body mass index was that the amount of physical activity that a person undertakes in a particular day directly influenced his or her satisfaction with life. Specifically, they found that by exercising just a little more than usual, an individual can significantly improve their satisfaction with life. Something to really think about the next time we're exercising and we feel like we want to quit for the day. Keep it going, persistence. Now, with the time that we have left, I just want to blast through the remainder of the news headlines in a segment that I like to call the Healthy Mind Headlines. Okay, the first headline. Researchers find that risk factors predict childhood obesity. High birth weight, rapid weight gain, and having an overweight mother who smokes can all increase the risk of a baby becoming obese later in childhood. This, according to new research by scientists at the University of Nottingham. The next headline. Magnetic brain stimulation treats depression independent of sleep effect. And we'll be talking about this more in the future, transcranial magnetic stimulation. But magnetic stimulation of the frontal lobe of the brain can alleviate symptoms of depression. However, those receiving the treatment did not report effects on either sleep or arousal commonly seen with antidepressant medications. It didn't make you tired, and it didn't make you wired. And finally, the headline, More Than Good Vibes. Researchers propose the science behind mindfulness. Very interesting study out of Brigham and Women's Hospital. Researchers there have proposed a new model that really shifts the way we think about mindfulness. Rather than describing mindfulness as a single dimension of thinking or cognition, the researchers demonstrate that mindfulness actually involves a broad framework of complex mechanisms in the brain. In essence, they've laid out the science behind mindfulness. Huh. Learning a little bit more about the healthy mind. How about that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have done it again. You and I, we have made it to the end of the 50th broadcast of the Healthy Mind. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program and to listen to all of the podcasts over the last year. I really do appreciate it. The website, as always, www.thehealthymind.com. Again, don't hesitate to sign up for the free monthly newsletter of thehealthymind.com right there on the homepage. You can follow me on Twitter. That's at Dr. Zafiridis. And any questions, comments, anything, I want to hear from you. Thank you for those wonderful emails. The email address, Peter at thehealthymind.com. That's Peter. Peter at thehealthymind.com. And for the Healthy Mind Podcast, part of the Healthy Mind Network, I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll see you next time right here on the Healthy Mind.